afternoon. As Kelly said, my name is Jessica Biebert. I'm a senior at the University of Minnesota in Applied Plant Science, and I was able to do my project association mapping of leaf flush rust resistance in wild barley through a grant that was given to me by the University of Minnesota. My faculty advisor was Dr. Brian Stephenson, and our club advisor is Dr. Vernon Cardwell. This is my abstract as it was submitted, and I'll go through most of it in the rest of the presentation. So barley is grown on 4 million acres in the United States, and it's a $633 million crop. The brewing industry actually uses 40% of that crop, and so it's a significant part of the agricultural economy as well as the brewing economy. Leaf rust, Picinia hordea, is a fungal disease, and it caused leaf rust losses of up to 40% until the 1960s, and those were prevented using a gene RPH7 that stopped all the common strains of leaf rust at that time. But in 1990, a new leaf rust strain came out that was virulent to RPH7 and could cause up to 100% losses, so it was a significant discovery for the barley industry. So the objectives of my presentation were to identify novel sources of leaf rust resistance within wild barley and wild barley relatives that are the predecessors of the current cultivated barley we use in our beers and everything else. So my second portion of this was to use association mapping to efficiently map these leaf rust genes that were discovered to specific chromosomal positions and identify any markers that could then be used in marker-assisted selection. I used the wild barley diversity collection, which is 318 accessions from a diverse ecogeographic location. The point of center for barley is the Fertile Crescent, so many of those varieties are from the Fertile Crescent, but there are also some from North Africa and Central Asia, and these were collected through the Barley Tap Project and available to public research institutions to use. And they were also previously identified with more than 300 DART markers and 3,200 single nucleotide polymorphism markers, which I was able to use during my analysis. I used two isolates of Picinia hordea, ND89-3 and DR76-12. The North Dakota 89-3 is virulent to all strains or to all genes except the RPH3 gene, and the DRS7612 is virulent to all but the RPH7 and 11 genes. So between the two of those, we could knock out every known resistance gene at this time. So I did three repetitions of my experiment in 50-50 soil, and I sowed them in plastic cones. They were vernalized for a minimum of 1 week so that the barley seeds would germinate, and then they were grown in a 22 to 24 degrees Celsius greenhouse for 1 week until we were at the 1 to 2 week stage. At that time, I inoculated with Gunnius spores of the two isolates individually in mineral oil at a rate of 0.125 milligrams of spores per plant. And these isolates were increased. I increased these isolates on a susceptible worker barley line that was isolated and used for me to make sure that the isolates I had were only those isolates, and they were also tested on a differential set to ensure that I didn't have any cross-contamination. Once the accessions were sprayed with the isolates, they were put in a 100% dark mist chamber for 16 hours so that the fungus was able to take hold in the plant and we had a good reaction. They were then returned to isolated greenhouses so that there was no cross-contamination as the fungal spores grew, and they were left there for 12 to 14 days. After that time, I went in and did ratings. As you can see on the picture on the left, this is a susceptible reaction. You can see the fungal spore pustules are growing, and this is a resistant reaction. You can see where they started to grow, but the leaf was able to stop those from expanding and growing into spores. And then this is the leaf rust rating scale, and it's based off of, there's a lot more wheat disease research than there is barley disease research. So we based our scale off of this with a 0 to 4 scale, with 0 being completely resistant and 4 being extremely susceptible. And then we had a fleck reaction, which just means that the fungus was able to interact with the plant, but the plant was able to stop that from actually taking over and producing spores. So those scores were then translated into a numbering system based on point values that was established by a graduate student in our lab. And we were able to make a gradient that I entered into the trait analysis by association evolution and linkage program that comes out of a Cornell corn breeding program. And since we had our own SNPs, we were able to use this program that was developed for corn for the barley. So this is a screenshot of the program itself, and I was able to enter in the phenotype data we had, as well as two different matrices, a Q matrix and a P matrix. And then I ran two analyses, a general linear model and a mixed linear model for each of the isolates. So for the preliminary analysis, we did four analyses per isolate. The general linear modeling, which gives you more results but is less specific, only models for fixed effects, while the mixed linear modeling takes the genetic background of each of the lines into consideration. So you do get less to look at the end, but usually those results are more specific. And then we use two different matrices as ways to stratify the population, just to make sure that there weren't the populations were put in an order that they could be used and weren't doubled up on. And we use the Q matrix and P matrix, which are developed through computer programs, structure, and then a PCA analysis. So there's actually been a lot of research done with RPH genes because of the amount of refresh and the time it's been around. So these are resistant genes in QTLs. The first 2 through 19 are resistance genes. 1 through 5 are resistance QTLs. And these were already discovered and have already been where the loci that they're located at have already been recorded in previous publications. So I was able to use those to cut down on the amount of analysis I needed to do. So this is what I got out of the program. Once I got my spreadsheet, I made a graph of this is the distance along the chromosome in front of Morgan, and the different colors, there's 7 chromosomes in barley, so this is 1, 2, and so on through chromosome 8 down here. This line is the line of where the Q value would be 5% error or less. So that was my cutoff line for which peaks were statistically significant in terms of my experiment. And so any peak above that line I looked at in terms of what gene it may correspond to if it was a novel gene. So in the red you have the genes that are already discovered and where those are located on the chromosome. And the blue lettered regions are regions of interest that I discovered that can be looked into further. So this is for the first isolate, 89.3, with the two different matrices, which you can see are extremely similar and have the same regions of interest, B, C, E, H, and I, or E, F, H, and I, for both of those matrices. And then this is for the other isolate. You can see there are more of the known genes on this one. And there were some different peaks also on this one that were regions of interest. So a summary of the analysis is the easiest way to look at this. And regions of interest A through I were what I discovered. And for each isolate, the dark yellow means it was highly statistically significant with a Q value of 5. The light means that there was a peak in that region, but it wasn't extremely statistically significant. And as you can see with the MLM, the results are much less pronounced. Like I said, it takes into effect the genetic variant. So I mainly looked at the GLM in order to just get an idea of what I could be looking at. As you can see, region of interest A is a gene that's only resistant to 7612, and likewise C is only resistant to 89.3. So we want to be looking at regions like B where both the plant was able to resist both of the isolates. So there's a lot more that I can do with this project. I have the DART markers so that I can run these analyses on and then compare those two to see if the regions of interest up here also with the DART markers. And then I can continue testing focused on those regions of interest, especially the ones that were resistant to both isolates, in order to ensure that they actually are not full regions and it wasn't an anomaly that they were associated with the lack of disease resistance. And in the long run, we'll be able to use these genes and markers and marker-assisted selection to make cultivated barley resistant to new virulent strains of refrost and so we can introduce new genes into the cultivated barley genotype, which is extremely eroded genetically, so it would be really nice to be able to add some wild progenitor genes back in. I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Brian Stevenson and Vernon Cardwell, as well as the entire organization. And then Brian is in Scotland on sabbatical, so the graduate students in our lab, Tomas and Hal, were extremely helpful in helping me prepare for this and finish my analysis of my project. So, are there any questions? This project allowed us to find new genes that we can put into your good yielding varieties of barley that will make it resistant to the new and evolving leaf rust strains that you're dealing with right now. Any other questions?
You can continue this work in graduate school. What would be your next step specifically? And another question is, how many years do you think it would take, or how much time do you think before you make that?
Okay. My next step specifically would be to use this program again, and there are 500 DART markers available from the BarleyCat program. So we would be able to run a different marker set with the same data I already collected. We wouldn't have to re-inoculate or re-rate anything. So to rerun this and then to go through the same analysis and then compare these peaks from these regions of interest to those would be the next. Just because to look at this many regions to see if they're actually valuable is, it would take a lot of work. So in order, if I could compare those with the DART markers and narrow them down to a few different ones to look at specifically, that would probably be the next specific step. And then in terms of time, we're doing this through the first leaf stage. So it only takes 3.5 weeks to run one replication of this experiment. So if we wanted to go into further testing with other isolates or wanted to run more replications of these of lines of those 318 that have these specific regions, I don't think it would take that much time. The hardest part would be to find the easiest way to integrate these genes back into the cultivated barley without a yield drag.